Good morning. This morning I'd like to look at several things that are really have to do with the central issue of self-transformation for a modern person. And they could be described as the dilemma of Lot's wife, the myth of Lot's wife. And we could say that her dilemma is curiosity. And it's interesting that curiosity is valued today. To be curious is positive. And yet she was punished for being curious. But she was punished not for being curious, but for only looking back. That is the issue when we wish to do self-transformation. And it has a great deal to do with the way in which we experience our senses. The sense life is focused primarily on looking back. When I look at my pencil, I expect my pencil to be my pencil. I don't expect it to transform into something else. And that expectation is a belief that it will not transform into something else. It's there. It's my pencil. End of discussion. And over the millennia, that's created in my sense life a kind of irresistible fatalism that everything is the way it appears. And when I wish to change something and go into my own soul life, the way my soul life appears is the way it is. But in reality, that's not the way it is. My soul life is much more dynamic and multidimensional than my pencil. But because of my sense experiences that I grandfather into my soul, the same type of fixedness as I have when I experience my pencil as a sense experience. We could call it my gaze. And my gaze into myself fixes myself into a whole set of beliefs. And when I wish to transform the beliefs, I grandfather in to my inner gaze the same type of terrible certainty that I have with my outer gaze. Oh, that's how it is. Oh, that's what they did. Oh, that's what happened. Sure, that's what it is. So when I wish to change something, I have a whole host of things inside that says, you can't change anything. That's Lot's wife. She's become a pillar of salt. And salt is a code word, esoterically, for an alchemist. So I'd like to look at that idea of a salt today. And then, towards the end of the presentation, talk about the daily review, which is the healing of the salt consciousness. It's so that we can enter into the dream in a more effective way. So here I have a diagram, a circle with a center point, and then a horizontal line with two half circles, one above and below. And they obviously are different, but that's only to my sense experience. I say, well, one is a circle and one is a kind of waveform. But they are linked to each other through a process where I have to take my sense impression and I have to link the circle to the wave by doing something very specific. So I'll ask you to think for a moment about what I would have to do to transform this circle into the wave? Interesting question. I'm going to draw now a horizontal line through the center of the circle. And I'll ask you again, what do I need to do to transform the circle into the waveform? Now there's a process, there's a concept in geometry called locus. The locus of a point, the movement, the path a point would make. So if I had a flashlight, it was a dark room, and I started making figures with my flashlight, you would see a line when actually there was no line. It's just a light point moving through the darkness. But a point moving creates a trail of a line, and that idea is called locus, the locus of a point. So I'm going on the circle, I'm going to put a point there right on the left-hand side where the line crosses it. And now I'm going to move the center of the circle to the right along the line and rotate the circle. And as I move the center of the circle to the right and rotate the circle around it, the orange point will move following as it moves, as the circle moves to the right, the orange point will go up and up and up, and as it keeps moving, the orange point will move down and down until it comes and meets the horizontal line. The locus of the point would move that way as I rotated the circle along the line. And the curious thing is, if I keep rotating that circle, move it along, a point then goes like this and makes a wave. So in order to transform the circle into the wave, I simply have to move it to the right and rotate it. But when you first look at it, they appear to be completely separate. They're fixed because one is a circle and one is a wave. But we see that if I change my inner configuration, one becomes the other. This is what Goethe talked about becomings, becomings, becomings. And really, in the inner life, my work to transform my fixed ideas into becomings is the work of imagination. I have to transform the way in which I look at the fixed ideas or issues in my soul and find some way to make them move. I make them move. They actually are moving, but they're moving in little short loop patterns of first this happens, then this happens, then this happens. That's a fixed idea, even though it's, quote, moving, it's always the same. And when I wish to actually transform it, I have to make it move in a different way. Even if it seems totally ridiculous. Once I am able to move it in a slightly different way, I start to loosen it from the fixed belief structures that keep my inner life fixed in patterns that I must keep repeating. And those patterns we could call masks, because I just keep repeating them. And repeating them, and repeating them. Somebody says something, and a mask comes up. And we all have them. I mean, it doesn't make us bad to have them. It's just that if I wish to change them, they won't change by themselves. I have to go down and talk to them, dialogue with them, and say, what can I learn from you? how can I change this a little bit so that it moves differently? So I make my fixed pattern dance around with me a little bit rather than dominating my consciousness. That's really the work. It's not like you sort of solve them forever. Carl Jung said, we don't solve our problems, we just kind of grow out of them. It's kind of like a hermit crab getting too big for the beer can it lives in or something, or and casting it off, and then that's our problem. And then another little hermit crab will come along and go, ooh, what a great problem, I think I'll put my butt into that one. So we just leave the shells behind, and others pick them up and go, oh, this is really cool. And we just cast it off. And that's the inner work. That's the, you know, the work to go down and pull stuff up and go, who are you down there? So there are certain patterns in my inner life having to do with the way I sense things that we could call the three gazes. So what I'd like to present to you is the three gazes and then the daily review later as a kind of healing of a way to transform these patterns that I'm not really happy about. The three gazes. So if we have a mandala, with earth at the bottom, I have a gaze that's a kind of earth gaze. And that's the fixed gaze. And the fixed gaze means when I look at my pen, I see a pen. I know it sounds kind of silly, but it's a pen. And you expect it to be a pen. And your notebook is your notebook. And the table is the table. When I see my pen as a pen, an alchemist calls that salt. And there is a process in me of salt that starts with the warmth of my being living in my blood and gradually moves from my blood through more fluid kind of tissues down into scar and bone. That's a physiological salt process. We could call it deposition, precipitation, deposition, deposition, settling out of the sludge, the salt. The image from alchemy is that if I look at a salt solution, I don't see anything in it. But if I let the water evaporate, eventually it becomes a little cloudy. And then finally, out of this invisible world comes a crystal of salt with perfectly square cubic form, razor sharp edges out of water. For the old people, this was a great mystery. Where do those razor sharp edges come out of the water? And they called the process salt. So out of the great potential that exists for the possibility of my thinking, the great fluid realm of thinking, comes the actual thought that I form, salt. The thought that I form prevents me from thinking. It disinclines me to continue thinking because I now have a precipitate of my thinking process that I call facts. The more facts I have, the less I am willing to change them. This is the danger of thinking, is that it produces thoughts esoterically. It's also the gift of thinking, is that it produces thoughts. And the salt process of precipitation means that in the totality of what I could think, I pick out something and create with it a thought. And then I throw that stone on the pile. And then another thought, and I throw that stone on the pile. And pretty soon, my landscape has little piles of things that I think I know that prevent me from knowing. So Goethe's quote was, all my knowing is only half knowing, because I can only see the manifest side of things, not the becomings. So all my knowing is only half knowing. My half knowing prevents my full knowing. So my knowing prevents my knowing, unless I work on it. And I can work on it. If I go to university, I'm not taught how to work on it, because in order to work on it, I have to consciously forget. We're not taught to forget at university. We're taught to remember. But if I wish to change something, I have to forget the way I have the piles arranged in my inner life. I have to do it consciously, because my memory, my subjective memory, is clogging my objective memory, my creative memory. My creative memory has a force of will in it. My subjective memory is looking back to the past. And that's Lot and his wife. And my subjective memory is absolutely certain that certain things happened the way they happened. But my objective memory has many more options. I just don't want to hear them, because I would have to go into the storehouse and disrupt the piles of stones that I have in there. And I'd rather not do that. I'd rather get on my bike and ride down the road. Okay, so I'm faced with this dilemma of the salt, redeeming the salt. How many have ever driven across the Great Salt Lake, the salt flats there? Pretty scary, huh? It's like hundreds of square miles of just salt. Pretty brutal. You want to kind of thank the Lord for your canteen when you're driving across there. That's salt. But it's the fallen salt. It's the gravity side of the salt. So I go over there and take a chunk of salt off the surface of the salt flats, and I put it in a gallon of warm water and stir it around, and pretty soon it disappears. That's the other side of salt. And if I evaporate the water, the salt shows up again with its little cube forms. So the appearance of the salt and the disappearance of the salt are two sides of the salt. The crazy thing about the salt is that no matter how many times I put it in water and dissolve it, it always comes back as a cube. And that is a perfect analog for sense impression. I look at my shoes before I go to bed, or the lamp or whatever, the book, and then I go to bed. And then I wake up in the morning and there's the lamp and the shoes in the bed again, and the book. Wow, what a miracle. came back. So my inner life of my soul is highly fluid, but the world around me I have fixed into salt. The only time I get rid of it is when I dream. And when I dream, I can fly and walk through walls and talk to people who've died and do all kinds of cool things that I can't do here in Salt World, in Lot's wife, Lot. And so I have available to me another kind of consciousness, especially with my gaze. And that is the fluid gaze. So what we just did with the circle and the wave was we transformed a circle into a wave by moving it. And yet we didn't move it randomly, had to move it in a very precise way so that we could also find truth in the moving. That is a really big issue. Otherwise, my memory, when I try to hook it to imagination, becomes personal fantasy. And then I lose my objectivity. I can free up my salt, but I just start careening around in my own fantasy rather than redeeming the fallenness of my thought. This is a really big issue. So in today's world, if you're beset by all the computer work you have to do at work, you come home, you have a sixer, you turn on the tube, and you just go into fantasy world. And then you wake up in the morning and go back into salt, 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 and then, okay, it's Miller time, boop, and I'm out of here. I'm in total dissolved fantasy. That's the oscillation. But if I wish to really get a hold of this, I have to change my vision so that when I see things or when I hear things, I participate in their becoming rather than looking at them, which is what we just did with the circle. When I take the circle and move it and it becomes a wave, I can participate in how a point on that circle would create a waveform simply by moving it, and I can think my way through the process and get satisfaction. It's very important that I have the feeling of evidence around the imaginative work that I do. If I dispense with the feeling of evidence, I end up with fantasy. So I'm trying to walk a very kind of interesting line here this morning. Because if I stay fixed, I'm dead meat. I'm roadkill. If I just go to water and go into fantasy, then I'm lunch. But somewhere in between, I walk this funny little path between the two. Then my title would be Adept. So the adept is a person that controls their inner picture. Not all day, but for a certain period of time each day. So that when the rubber meets the road, they have some capacity to assess who owns the picture. Can I change the picture that I've just found? Or do I need to keep repeating the same patterns endlessly? Is that my lot as a human, or can I change? And if I do change, can I change in a creative and constructive way rather than just run away or whatever the escape is? How can I do that? So in the fluid gaze, I practice saying, what did this look like just before it appeared to me in this form? So if you took your pen, for instance, and I asked you, so I'll borrow Mariana's pen. Okay, how's this one? Okay. So I had the pen here like this, and I was trying to see how did the pen look just before it got here. I was looking for some kind of clicker or something to move it. And she said, oh no, it looked like this. Now I have a feeling of evidence around this. I was searching for the becoming of the pen. What did it look like before, right before it got here? And I had a couple models I was bringing to it, and then she showed me one that gave me a strong feeling of evidence. Can you see what just happened? Sense-wise. So now I have a very strong feeling of evidence that this is how this looked just before. That feeling of evidence is because Mariana has just showed me the water that dissolves the salt of the form of the thing as it appears to me now. She's helped me with the water of understanding. Now I have a process that gives me a feeling of evidence that I know how the pen works. Okay, but now there's some, there's some wiggle here. I can, whoa, there we go. So now I'm starting to wonder about, well, where can this go? So I'm having modalities that I'm trying to explore in the pen to see, is there any other surprise? And as I do that, my vision is looking for little symptoms of the way things are moving in the pen. How is this moving? I'm in water mode with my gaze rather than, that's the pen, that's it forever. Suppose she decided she didn't like the cap to go on the front and just glued it on the back. I'd be pretty much out of luck to try to understand. She could say to me, well, you know, the cap really comes off the end and goes over there. And I'd say, well, no, it doesn't. And then she'd have to say, well, I glued it on there. And I'd say, you glued it on there? Okay, but could you see I'm now moving my salt? Here, when I just look at the pen of her using it, and I say, that's the pen, and I try to remember the picture of the pen, I don't have a clue of its becoming. I just have the belief that that's what the pen is. That's a corpse. That's a salt crystal. And then I believe that's the pen. And if I don't go through a water process, when I go to pull up a memory of that pen, I have the snapshot of its corpse. That's what I pull up in the memory bank, is the snapshot of the corpse. And then I cleverly arrange the corpses into my field of knowledge.
Isn't that the way children look at things?
Well, children look at things in fantasy. So prior to the age of 7, the consciousness of the child is becoming whatever they are looking at. or hearing. So when they look at a cloud or they look at a tree, they become that. That's called fantasy. When I become whatever the stimulus is, that's fantasy.
Yes, could we say that in this process there has to be a sort of order? Yeah, I mean, this is what I'm getting. You know, the thought itself, so interesting, is fixed, yet the thinking is about the movement.
That's right. The thinking, the human being is thinking. The true human is thinking. With no thought, thinking as an as a spiritual activity, the philosophy of spiritual activity, the freedom of the human is thinking, but with no thought in it, no corpse, no salt crystal. That's the true human. But then to live on the earth, I have to deal with the corpse, which I have to animate and motivate and get it up out of bed in the morning and tell it, you can have some coffee if you get up. If you get up and go out, you can have coffee. Okay. And it'll help you get through the day. And then you can have breakfast. Remember breakfast? Okay, whatever. Oh, maybe lunch is better. Oh, okay, how about dinner? Yeah, dinner, okay, dinner. Chocolate, yeah, okay. I have, you know, the carrot. I have to move the corpse. I have to animate it. And the same is true for my beliefs. If I believe that it's going to be, you know, 90 yards of barbed wire before breakfast, that's probably what's going to happen. If I believe I'm not capable of changing something, then I'm not capable of changing it. Case closed. But if I have even the little hint that I can change something, then I have to go down and deal with the fact that memory says, I don't think you can. And then we have to say, well, I think I can. No, you can't. Yeah, I can. No, you can't. But I never win with that kind of argument because that's just earth. I can, you can't. I can, you can't. I can, you can't. He said, she said. So I have to build in myself a force that says, suppose. I have to get out of the you can, you can't mode. And say to the you can't voice, well, suppose I try. Oh, no, you can't. Well, suppose. That's water. And water doesn't automatically come from the salt. I have to supply it. Now, that means I have to transform the fixed part of my memory into the living part of my memory. Or, code word for that is imagination. So my memory has two sides. It has a kind of death, corpse, salt side, and it has a living, creative side. When my memory is creative, it is in the future. The future is the realm of the will, the warmth and enthusiasm. So to change my fixed memory into imagination, I have to will my pictures, my inner pictures, for a certain time of day, during the day, just a practice of willing pictures. Over time, the practice of willing pictures becomes a fluid quality in me that allows me to get the same type of energy as the child does, but without fantasy. instead of the content of my soul being what is around me, I change what is around me with the content of my soul. I change the image instead of the image changing me. And that happens between 7 years old and 9 years old normally, but sometimes it doesn't happen. And then people forget that they can change the image when they get browbeaten about having to remember dead facts. And they forget that they can change that. So that's the purpose of the arts in Waldorf education, is to teach people you can change your picture. Make it fluid. You can make it imaginative. So where the real interface for this is when I have a sense experience and I habitually believe that everything I see is finished. It's complete, done. Basta, enough, finished. And when I go through the world and the world is finished, it's difficult for me to get out of bed in the morning. So I practice taking a little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit each day and moving a picture by asking myself, what did this look like just before it came here to my fried egg or my fork? And I disenchant my fork, and then it becomes a capacity to understand it and be grateful for it, rather than just using it as this corpse that I could care less about. That's the great drama of the soul, is a kind of existential malaise because I'm not grateful for the great miracles I have. This is why we're going through all this stuff in the U.S. with our financial system. Just go into an old cathedral and look at the woodwork and think of somebody who carved all this stuff, and then go get a piece of pine and a chisel and spend a half an hour carving, and then go back and look at the woodwork in the cathedral. And then go to Walmart and look at the plastic replica of the carving of the cathedral. And you start to get a picture of what I'm trying to describe to you, of what's known as existential malaise. I exist, therefore I'm not satisfied. Or I exist, therefore I am anxious. If I want to build a resilience to deal with that, I can. But I need to take my own self-education in the place where I have the dysfunction, which is in my sensing, and say, I'm going to feed my inner picturing some type of activity of images that move in a lawful way. And when I do, that's a fluid gaze. So another code word for that is ABC. Because once I find out what the thing looked like just before it got here, I can ask myself, what's it going to look like after, or what did it look like right before that? I start to extend my imaginative vision out beyond where the thing is now, and that gets a little shaky. And that's where anxiety comes from. We don't know. Is this bailout going to work or not? In the news for gazillion billion. Pretty soon we'll have more zeros we can even, I don't know, how many zeros does it take to fill a wheelbarrow? So somewhere along the line, I come into contact with the fact that I can change myself. I can change the way I deal with these things. And that means ABC. If I practice ABC, I can go to D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, or A prime, A prime prime, A prime prime prime, A prime 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 prime, you know, go back the other way. I can move the images back and forth until I get a feeling that I have a feeling that the ABC that I'm doing has evidence. Until then, I'm just forming pictures, ABC, 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 ABC. At a certain point, if I form enough pictures and start to follow my own lead through this, I will feel the pictures linked to each other in water world. They link to each other because when I'm doing that work, I am consciously entering my life body. And I'm moving through my life body consciously by ordering the flow of the inner mental images. I'm doing it consciously for 5 minutes. Thus, it's not all day. It's just a 5-minute exercise. But if I do it again and again and again, I start to tap into a part of myself that realizes I can change this. And prior to that, it's like, I can't change this. This is, I open the door, there it is. Can't do anything about it. And there's some things we can't do anything about. That's just a given. But if I have to freak out because I can't do anything about it, that's not given. So the ABC, the water consciousness, or the fluid gaze, when I look at the pen, I ask myself, is there evidence on the pen that I can say to myself, this is the way this looked right before it got to me? How did my notebook look just before it was where it is now? Well, it probably looked something like that. Oh yeah, right. Feeling of evidence. A, B. What's C? A, B, C. If you can take three things that you can find that are, you feel are linked, that is very good. That's water. And then we go to air, to the open gaze. And the rule for alchemists is whatever it is, it's going to reverse. When everything reverses. Sometimes it takes a short time, sometimes it takes a long time. This is the wheel of fortune in the tarot, you know. Everything, or the hanged man, everything is going to be upside down somewhere along the line. Everything. Everything. Everything is going towards its polarity. And if that bothers you, you're on the wrong planet. Okay, because it just is a given. So everything reverses. So in alchemy, we take that as a tool. It's okay, everything reverses. So, now I have my ABC, let me reverse that. And I think CBA as an image. ABC, forward, CBA, backwards. And I have the equivalent in the soul to one breath. It's a breath. It's a soul breath. There's my fixed consciousness, my fluid consciousness of the ABC, and then the CBA, and I'm in a place where my consciousness has been pushed out, made fluid, and comes back and is now empty. But it's been emptied sequentially. just as it's been ordered in water sequentially. This is different than run away. And the difference is that I am controlling the image for 2 minutes. So there's the thing fixed. ABC, fluid. CBA, silence, air. I can learn to look at my pen with an air gaze. So if there's my pen and I look at it, but I don't allow my vision to go to a detail, try it. Put your pen out there. Don't touch it because you're automatically hooked to it.
Okay.
Look at it and don't allow yourself to see the pen, but keep your gaze on it. Pretty fierce, huh? It's not so easy to not see, but through practice, you can not see, or see slash not. Okay, and when I do that open gaze, I'm jamming millennia of habit. Just every person that ever saw something. Just again and again and again and again and again. So I see, oh, there it is. That's what it is. Okay, next. So when I do the open gaze, I start to, the purpose of that is to see my seeing rather than what is being seen. I can learn to see my seeing and hear my hearing. When I see my seeing, I come in contact with the seer. When I only see what is being seen, I become what is being seen, like I do when I'm 5 years old. So to pull away from what is being seen and still be seeing makes me the seer. I reclaim the activity of the sense rather than the corpse. There is a very definite activity in seeing that is a creative, co-creative force. It's creative and imaginative and filled with potential, but it gets clogged with the scene. And if I can just stand 30, 15 seconds of the open gaze without allowing it to collapse, over time I start to come into contact with the one who is seeing. And then there are some interesting questions about who am I that is seeing? Who is this that is seeing? How has it come to this in my seeing or hearing or tasting or touching? Because the great secret of the senses, from Steiner's point of view, is there are 12 of them, and the most fundamental is touch. And that actually is, when we work through this, that is the highest sense. He calls it spiritual touch. I need to transform my physical touch into spiritual touch so that I can tell the quality of the being who is approaching me from the other side. That's then intuition. I can't surrender into those higher beings until I trust them until I have a feeling of evidence that there is a reality and that they are benign. Until then, I am attracted by the shining lights and the loud voice of the Dark One, says Saint Teresa. Until then, I'm in the Hall of Mirrors. But all I need to do is ask myself, or have the picture, as Rudolf Steiner says, you are being thought in your true essence. You are a child in the mind of God. Your true being is a great idea somewhere. Yeah, that's the open gaze. So now, what does it have to do with my life? So there's a process called the daily review, or the rukshal. The daily review is a looking backwards, but in a fluid way, rather than a fixed way. So I can look backwards and take an inventory of who did what to whom during the day. And that is just the tapes of, you know, instant replay tapes, so the referees can find out who actually dropped the ball. And that doesn't really transform anything, because it just contributes to my belief I've been wounded, or they've been wounded, or I should have won, or should have, could have, what, or whatever. So the purpose of the daily review is not to review the stuff and then make value judgments on it. The purpose of the daily review is to create a fluid consciousness that eventually leads to an open consciousness. So I take pictures from the day and start to move through them backwards. And I want to look at it as if it were the life of somebody else that I was interested in. So I don't want to start cycling about who said what to whom and who felt that when somebody said that and blah, blah. I just want to say to myself, oh, and that's what happened to him. Oh, and then that's what happened to him, and then that's what happened to him, and then that's what happened. And as I do that in a fluid consciousness, I experience what Rudolf Steiner calls the schwung of my day, the glide of my day, the flow of my day. I want to have the feeling of the flow rather than the who struck John, who was right, who was wrong, lawyer deposition, party of the first part, party of the second part, hereafter shall be known as. I want to take that part away and see the flow of the day as best I can, as pictures, flowing pictures backwards. I don't have to do the little funky move backwards. Just flip the page backwards. This is what happened, and then this is what happened, and this is what happened. I want to see little snapshots backwards as I get back to the morning. I can ask my angel to be there if I'm having sleep problems. The reason why I ask my angel is because as soon as I cross the threshold and I've done some inner work during the day, I have a different kind of energy that is very attractive to things that I have stuck on the other side that are still connected to me here. And I want to tell them to get a job. So I need somebody to be there to help me when they try to take my candy money when I come into the schoolyard. And that being is my angel. So if I do the daily review, I'm translating the facts, the fixed part of my day into a flow backwards, and then I'm silent. When I'm silent, I say to my angel, can you be there in the morning? And then I go into open consciousness as I go into sleep. In the morning, when I come back to my body, I'm going to go back from the eternal all back into my little salt box. I'm going from the warmth and enthusiasm of being home with the spirit down through tissues into bones and into having to have, you know, the coffee there so that I can get up. I awaken into a kind of fixed salt consciousness. But I want to bring from the open consciousness something that will I can carry over into my daily life, which will refresh it and give it levity and buoyancy. Some pictures. This is what the children are bringing at night, but then during the day it just becomes fantasy with them. We call that then creativity. I have a firm experience, a clear experience that I can have a lot of evidence for, that I'm being helped by beings on the other side. This is worth a lot. And it doesn't cost you $175 a pop. It's your birthright. But you have to set it up. Doesn't happen automatically, especially to people in our age where materialism is so rampant. We've lost sight of this other realm where our birthright is. We've sold our birthright for a pot of lentils. So going backwards in the evening, back to an open consciousness, I'm softening and moving and flowing back into open consciousness, and then I place a little help right there, and that goes into the eternal all and then comes back. And in the morning, I spend 5 minutes just being quiet and listening. Is there anything that has come? And over time, you will find that your dreams become much more present to you. And not only they become present, they start to make sense. You start to know what they are speaking about emotionally, instead of them being kind of strange and you wake up, you're like, oh, one of those. Yeah. That your angel won't let that happen. You're just being shaken down as you come back. By placing a request to the angel there, you can allow the dream to start to move over into the daily life, and what starts arising in you is the feeling that you are being helped. It's very subtle, but it's very real. And over time, the daily review will allow that feeling that you are being helped to grow into a direct perception that you can place questions in, and then slowly they start to come into your daily life, often totally backwards in the order that you need. So you have to have a way to allow that to happen without fixing it. But then that's another chapter. Okay, so the three gazes, the fixed, the fluid, and the open, are preparation for being able to do the daily review with some power. And once you have some power in the daily review, you begin to find home. You find that there's a part of you that is there while you are here, and that part of you that's there while you're here is the part that says, suppose I were to do this. And that's very, very valuable emotionally.